Oh, sorry. Sorry, I just apologies to Wall Street Radio listeners. I didn't open the microphone. So yeah, I am here. Sorry about that. So anyway, I was just describing after that song the sound was the sound of a gravity generator, and that I had one in here in my hand, a small version of a gravity generator. It's very humble. But basically, as I said, if you take two magnets and place them same pole to same pole so that like they repel from each other, then what you get is a counter-rotating gravitational situation, or a counter-rotating magnetic situation, which then produces a gravitational situation. So what I've got here is the simplest form completely. This is what I've got in my hand. As I've got four, they're not neos, they're the kind of the grey magnets, you know, the older style, the sort of darker grey, almost like a kind of graphite thing, and like the stuff you get in grey composite, like in fridge magnets and things. Anyhow, so not very strong magnets, but still magnets nevertheless. I took two cable ties. And I took the two pairs of magnets, stuck to each other, like the little discs. So we're talking about, 3 millimeter thick discs. So the whole thing's just about, just over half an inch tall and about, an inch wide. It's got, four magnets, two pairs of magnets, pushed up against each other. And I just use cable ties to, tie them together, you know, use a special plier tool to tighten it up right real hard. And that's it. And what that is a gravity generator. And if you were to, embed it into you take two lumps of putty or something or some material and, stick this in, and you drop them from a great height, you'll find that this one arrives to the ground last. It will actually fall slower. Now, so much for that. Right, so there's my gravity generator. But we were talking about gravity generators. Because I didn't have any show ready, on Monday, at 1 to 3 Pacific, I've got a slot where sometimes there's a show and sometimes there's no show. And today there was one of these no shows, and I said to the audience, "What do you want to do?" And they said, "Oh, play something from that book that you read out." So okay, and the book was the Die Glocke, and it described the actual reality of the Kecksburg incident. And about the operation of the whole thing, and it's bloody, it's Nazi on Nazi action. They did not forgive each other. They weren't very nice. So it was a real action packed, information packed, history packed journey. And what was interesting is that it also we find the first incidents. Now, any of you who have read Sands of Time, Volume 1 and 2, and soon to be published, if not tomorrow, Sands of Time, Volume 3, will be aware of Simon Ratterman and, what's her name, Anne Corbett, who are the time-traveling Nazis. And in this book that I'm reading, there is a mysterious couple who very much fit that same description. You know, a very beautiful blonde woman and this tall, handsome man who seem to appear and disappear all throughout time. So anyway, those are the time traveling Nazis. So this is where they came from. They were originally working on the Die Glocke project, and they escaped Hitler's hitman, General Sporenberg. So yeah, wow. So anyway, gravity generators, and Thanks for thanks everybody on and apologies and thanks for your patience on Wall Street Radio. You guys always suffer my worst incidents. Anyway, so I'm inviting calls. If you want to call in on if you're in the States, you can call in on my dial-in number, which is 775-773-3431. Hey, can anyone find one of those, like, make a word out of that? Can you find it wouldn't be cool if it was like 775 Wolf Spirit or something like that? Anyway, it probably wouldn't be. But anyway, maybe somebody could look that up. You can use that, 775-773-3431. And, indeed, you can call Studio B on 310-414053. I also believe that I'm being relayed on Studio A. I bloody well hope to be, because Lorien said that's what was going to happen. Can somebody tell me, in the chat room if I'm also appearing on Studio A at this moment? And if not, why not? Or if not, as long as there's somebody covering it, that's fine. Oh yes, of course. You can indeed you can hear me, you can call in and listen to the numbers. Not only is there there's also a TalkStream live page. Yay! Ever Beyond. I know that's, I've got two shows. One's called Ever Beyond, one's called Journeys, and I kind of took out Journeys, but, so this is broadcast on Ever Beyond Radio. It's all very complicated. Yeah, so anyway, here we are. So, yes, I was talking about the gravity generator, and, what you were hearing at the beginning of the show, and what Sean was talking about was the sound of a gravity generator, the sound of an old Pleiadian beam ship. Which uses Vril technology, very old, very very old, so the sound of this thing, the waves that these things create. Now, I don't know if you remember when, if you were listening closely to the account of Sporenberg. Now, was it Sporenberg? Sporenberg or Cernan. Yeah, I think it was Sporenberg. That's right, because he witnessed Kamla being killed and Werner Eckert being killed. So he saw the vortex, and he said it was like this diamond blue vortex that was being generated. As Sean was saying, when these people got caught in the vortex, you get this sense of bliss. This is what it's about. You kind of relax and regress, and everything's fine. And it's a very, very relaxed sense. Because get this, gravity is love. That's what love is. Gravity. It's a gravity wave. And when you're joyful, you're generating gravity. You've got this counter rotation going on. Creates a gravity wave. There's something going on that is going on the same thing as this thing that I've got in my hand here. And hopefully that because I've got it in my hand, the gravity waves that are coming off it, that are coming off this thing should be modulating my voice. So, even if I'm just reading out a telephone directory, I should be radiating a kind of joyful energy. So, if anybody's not feeling greatly joyful, why don't you call in and we'll see if we can. Studio A on Revolution Radio is dead air. Right, okay, so, excellent. Right, so is anybody... Right, okay, so I'll just have to bring it into the call. Oh, God, nobody told. Yeah, nobody ever gives me... Alright, well.
Freedom.com and Revolution Radio.
Alright, well, he's got something on there, so something's happening there, so that's Studio A covered. Maybe. So, look, why don't you call in on 310-41-4053 and talk to me, and we'll pull something out. I'll tell you. I can just fill in with some of the weird stuff that I've been getting into in the last few weeks, which has really blown my mind and blown everybody's mind and blown our hearts. And right now, according to some people, Studio A is dead air, and according to other people, Studio A has got stuff on it. I don't know who's on it, but if anybody could report to me and tell me, just tell me what's going on, really. It would be great to just talk to anybody at all. Actually, no, I'm not that desperate, because, as I said, it's been a busy time. One of the things is a few weeks ago I had, oh, what's this? EA, who's EA? Rob from New Mexico. Oh, there he is. He's having a crystal healing. There we are. Where are you? Where are you? Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone, Mr. Rob. Hey. Unmute your mic. Speak to me. You're on the call. You're live on the air. No? Well, anyway, I'm sure you'll burst through any second now.
Did we make it?
Yay! There you are. Hang on.
Hello, my friend.
Hang on to this rope. Hang on to the end of this rope, and I'll pull you in. Go on. Come
me
towards me. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. There you are. All the way from New Mexico.
I heard you say a word that gets me all excited.
What one?
Magnetic.
Magnetic, yeah. So I've got this little thing. Anyway, I'll show you. I can show you at least, and you can describe what you're seeing. Hi. There we are. And can you see four disc magnets? Yeah, about an inch, 20 mil, and there are cable ties wrapped around it tightly, holding two pairs together, just to give a bit more, you know.
Positive, negative, positive, negative, or what are you working there?
There's two pairs that are in positive to positive, north to north.
Nice.
Like that. Okay, and then they're held together. This is only a weak one, because these are not neodymiums. I've got some, I made one, I don't know where it is, it's probably somewhere up on the ceiling.
So you're creating a flux.
Yeah, this creates... This creates a flux. This is the simplest gravity generation you can make. Anyone can do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you can hear what's going on, JP is actually, he's molding time and space.
Weird science.
Really?
Spooky science can be made in your own living room. Spooky science.
And it's cool.
It's very cool.
It's something we should all, touch up on a little bit.
Yeah. And this is the thing. If you take this, right, and you got a couple of lumps of stuff that you could embed this, you know, say clay or, you know, plasticine, and you take that, this weight of, you know, make them the same weight, and you take this the weight of this out of that one, and you know, push this into the middle of it, yeah, and you mold the plasticine around the generator, and then you go up to a very high staircase, and you drop it all the way down to the ground. The one that has the generator in it will hit the ground just a little time after the first one, which means it's come down slower. Hmm. When the guy saw the Kecksburg device falling, it didn't kind of drop like a stone. It kind of wibbled down like a leaf almost. And that's the action of a gravity generator. It's not going to drop out the sky, because it's got a bubble around it that's pushing out. That's what a gravity generator does. That's how things levitate, is that they push out.
Yeah, the force field of energy that surrounds it, even though you can't see it, it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
You said Kecksburg, right?
Kecksburg, yeah. There's a famous Kecksburg, Philadelphia UFO experience where this thing went... and then kind of slowly kind of dropped down out of the sky, glowing orange red hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Have you heard about this? Famous UFO. I've 1965.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't even around then, but it seems like,
one of the most famous UFOs, right? And the army take it away, right?
Could we call it like a portal, a flux of some fort that happened back then that could be even still active to this day, JP?
It's more sinister than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's obviously something has been opened or some form of, shall we say a gate? Can we call it a gate? What can we call that, JP?
Alright, so have you heard...
There's different definitions.
Have you heard of Die Glocke? Have you heard of Die Glocke?
Oh, sure.
The bell, the Nazi bell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so I read out of this book that I'm showing you here. It's called Die Glocke, the bell. Yeah? And, it's mysteriously anonymous about it, but it talks all about the Vril Society. It talks all about the development of the bell, where they did it, in the castle that they did it, and how they escaped being murdered by Sporenberg because they escaped in the secret tunnels. It's very exciting. Right at the end.
Exciting. It sounds like it's not in large amount of printing either.
No, this is a really cheap, it's Rose Dog Books. 30 Smithfield Street, Pittsburgh, PA. It probably doesn't even exist.
Pennsylvania, lots going on in Pennsylvania right now.
Yeah. Mm. So, Kecksburg, Pennsylvania was where this thing appears.
1965.
And you know the whole, Philadelphia experiment. Yeah?
Yeah, that was that ship, that boat that disappeared. That was amazing.
Yeah.
How many years
did it appear? How long did it take?
Earlier.
Yeah, but how long did it take to appear?
Oh, I don't know. I think we're going back to the 40s, right, when that took place?
Yeah, but then it appears every 20 years. Do you know that? Yeah.
Really? So there's a reappearance, a retransformation of that energy, kind of like we're talking about here? This a flux comes back?
It drops like a stone through a wet paper bag. Like a newspaper, like the pages of a newspaper. Like every page is 20 years. It's really interesting, isn't it? Like it's a real thing. 20 years is a real cycle. And as the ship, through its weight of gravity, its anti-gravity, long story. Anyway, tears a hole in time-space and just drops through it. And finally springs back when it hits about 2003, according to Sean.
Interesting.
And then it starts coming back up to 1945 and appears slightly shifted along with some highly traumatized crew. And some of them, most of them are not alive because they're all fused with the bulkhead. You heard about this?
Yeah. Could we say like a hot knife through butter? But in different molecular...
Like a stone through a wet paper bag. That's time, that's time frames. Yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
And Die Glocke did more or less the same thing. Like they fired the thing up. They just cranked it all the way up because they had no other choice. It was that, or Sporenberg was shooting at them, and then nobody had ever done it before. Nobody ever cranked it all the way up, and that's what it did. It went up into the air, 800 feet, sparkled lightning, blue sparks, blue light, blue mist, bam, explosion, and then gone.
Isn't that amazing when we have an option to like take one to like 10 and maybe like 3 is comfortable, but we all 1 point want to take it to 10. Why is that, JP? Is that human nature to turn the knob all the way to the right just to see what happens?
Just to see if I can. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a guy thing. And maybe it's just testosterone, just like be extreme about things. It is usually the result. I mean, usually the result is not good. Usually the result of you like, you asshole, you shouldn't have done that. That's usually the result when you do that kind of thing. So anyway, but they had no choice. I mean, because like, where would they go? Okay, so they just turned it up and said, on a wing and a prayer, they loved each other even though she was a double agent. It's really exciting. It's a really exciting book.
Yeah.
You know, it's a true story, but nobody knows about it because it was a secret project. Except two guys, well, four people survived. Two were time travelers, and two were taken by Operation Paperclip.
Interesting. And this is 1965 we're talking about here again?
Well, they were taken in 1944, 43, 45. Whenever the Allies, basically the Allies caught them, you know. But Sporenberg was after them first, and Sporenberg was Hitler's hitman, and he was captured by the Russians. And they smacked him about a bit until somebody came in, came into the room and said, I'm sorry, Hugo, stop that. We're sorry, sir. We'll get you cleaned up and here's some brandy.
They didn't have papers.
And, well, you know, basically they didn't quite know who this guy was until the guy had been reading the reports and like... This guy, yeah, we don't want to kill this guy. He knows everything. And he spilled the beans to the Russian guy. And that report is available, it's in the blogosphere. Mm-hmm. The Russian report about the secret Wunderwaffe projects.
Isn't that amazing? That's that's suspense, truth, high nature, you know, espionage, people going against what they, you know, just, how can we get a hold of this book that you have?
Well, you don't need to because I read it for you and you can download it from free.
Well, we should turn more into your show then because this is kind of unique.
Yeah, it's on Ever Beyond Radio in the archive section and you can find it under JP Reads For You. But actually what I was looking for, in this book was the picture because there was the only evidence, of this, project, which was, and, you know, this project was the biggest, it's called Giant. The project was called RISA, which means giant, right? And it was enormous because it was, they had a hollowed out caverns underneath mountains in Owl Mountains in, what is now Poland. Okay. But that was part of Nazi Germany at the time. And they had this enormous castle that had secret tunnels. They extended those tunnels and built them out, and that's what they used the Jewish labor for. You know, they just basically worked them to death, you know, making these underground bases. So if you think underground bases is an American military thing, no, it all started in Nazi Germany and basically has just extended from Germany, you know, out to Russia because, you know, the Russians captured some of the solid scientists. In a way, it's like, we've stepped on a nest of ticks and most of them have escaped and created their own nest.
Yeah. Who knows what's underneath the castles in Poland?
Right? Well, exactly. And basically, here's the thing, right? Here's an insight that I have had.
Maybe some art too.
Yeah. Every hill, I mean, the crust of the earth, the skin of the earth is very, very thin. Much thinner than we think. And every mountain and every hill has a cavern underneath because it's just rucked up. It's like your knuckle. You know when you, extend your finger? The skin on your knuckle ruckles up. Under there, there's a gap. That's just the same as the planet.
Air pocket, air bubbles.
Yep, and there are oceans underneath the continents because the continents have a smaller radius than the radius of the planet and therefore have a curvature and also a pressure at the edges, and that's what they think is subduction, but it's not.
What about like a geothermal constant release from, you know, internally comes from the earth?
Could make really a nice little warm bubble with a geothermal release, and that's what they've got at Diego Garcia, where that's the expansion point. Right, it was a really good idea. What a good idea. Build an underground base right at the point where the three big plates of expansion meet, which is like therefore the source of expansion. Why not put a base there? Because, you know, there's never going to be any magma coming up through any tubes underneath there. You know, these are very handy cabins, aren't they? Look at these very useful crystals. Oh, I wonder how they got formed. Yeah, anyway.
Sorry, history won't repeat itself.
Yeah. Hey, look, if we dig in, we find another base. Oh, look at that, all behind crystals. Oh, I wonder how that happened.
It's an amazing what's underneath us sometimes, JP. You know, I'm fascinated sometimes, you know, I wonder, you know, underneath a cavern, you know, what would be underneath the mountain, you know, where's the water source, you know, where's the air source, you know, if there could ever be in like a city. Some of my friends that have done some geological work in Arizona actually, have found like entrances to certain caves that if they would, you know, do a little more further, they would probably just find more bubbles like you're talking about, like, and it's
Swiss cheese, Rob.
Swiss cheese, there you go. Well,
Swiss cheese. That's the planet. The planet is really a pudding.
That's good.
And it's expanding.
Swiss cheese pudding.
You know, people wonder, how can we have an expanding planet if it's just kind of solid, massive lump? No, it's not. It's like a pudding with air pockets.
Even over in Europe, too, you know, different rock formations, you know, different monoliths. I'm sure underneath there is a different kind of cheese. A different kind of pudding.
Yeah. And obviously the moon is made of another kind of cheese. In fact, all planets are some kind of cheese. Camembert, brie. you don't want to go to the brie planet. That's it.
No brie, yeah. Okay.
Stinks.
Must exit that brie planet.
Emmental. Now there's a sweet place. Anyhow, so. We could do the cheese sketch, but so.
Well, no, but it's a really good point because I mean, you know, it made me think about the moon too as being hollow, you know, and when those, you know, those boys supposedly landed on the moon, it made that echo, right? That lasted for so long.
From everything that I can understand, from everything that I feel about this thing, the moon is so artificial. I see struts. I see skeleton when I look at the moon. You know, that lower crater. And those ribs that come out of that lower crater, you know, call it what you will, that looks like there's, you know, it's covering exoskeletons. Like you can see somebody's ribs underneath, you know, somebody's ribs beneath their skin, you know, there's a pattern. So it looks like that to me when I look at the pictures of the moon from that, you know, South Pole look. And then, of course, the moon has a particular behavior. Which it's either being piloted or due to its density differences on the surface, therefore it's perhaps hollow on one side or more hollow on one side or quite hollow and with a lot of metal on one side. But basically it seems to be orbiting in some sort of centripetal way, you know, pushing it out. And then it's also magnetically attracted to the Earth and its same face faces the Earth all the time. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
We don't see the dark side of the moon. We know it's not dark. It's far. There's the far side of the moon, the near side of the moon. We only ever see the near side of the moon. We never see the far side of the moon. And that's where the Nazi bases are, and that's where the big hole is, and that's the port, that's its, you know, the whole Death Star stuff and all that stuff. It's all in there.
You touched on something really, unique there. And when you first stated what you were saying there, could this be a ship? Could this be operated?
No. The Chinese say this is their getaway vehicle. They say they came from their dying planet in the moon.
Into the moon, so
through wow. You know, it's they parked it there. it's their bus, you know.
You see, and mythologically, I've done some, you know, a little bit of research here and there. I tend to read, you know, a little bit here and there, and I was told that one of the gods of Saturn had taken and put this round object and thrown it into place here, you know, as a satellite, and that goes, you know, to I can't, you know, confirm any mythology. But I know there's, you know, many stories of the gods and working the universe. And I believe that in one of the stories that I think other people have probably touched it too, talk about a civilization of Saturn that actually created this satellite and put the moon in place. And for what you said, it could be operated, could be hollow. I mean, who knows? I mean, ebb and tide flows and emotions and the water. I mean, what happens throughout the oceans and the rivers throughout the, you know, not just the Earth, I'm sure other places too. Do you know that? Can I ask you that question? Are there other water bodies affected by the moon other than the Earth, JP?
All right, let's look at that. What's going on?
No one's answered that one.
There's a drag, right? Everything's got, you know, there's a drag of magnetism, there's a drag of gravity as the thing's orbiting, and we're, you know, don't forget we're orbiting the sun, so it's orbiting us, and the sun's orbiting something else, and so we're orbiting the sun, orbiting something else, and the moon's orbiting us, and, you know, we're da 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 da. Anyway, so there's our circular motion. But the thing is, the moon, as I said, faces the Earth all the time. Same face. So, perhaps there is some great piece of magnetic machinery that is so big that it causes the moon to always face. I mean, imagine, all right, so here's my thought experiment. You have a balloon with helium in it, right? And it's, you know, a really strong balloon, and it's kind of straining against the string that you're holding it. You know? I'm talking about. So you then take a tiny little magnet, maybe even a piece of fridge magnet or something, just a little bit of magnetic. You tape that to the, or glue it to the balloon, right? So you got this balloon, is floating there with a magnet stuck on one side, yeah? And then you go and get a nice big loudspeaker or something, great big, get something really big and magnetic, you know? Like a MRI machine or something. Or a, you know, just a loudspeaker. You know, a nice big fat magnet. And then, if you're standing by the table with the balloon hanging, the magnet will be drawn towards the larger magnet. Yeah? Because it's, you know, it's the only magnetic thing around, and it's the biggest magnetic thing around. It's always gonna point that way. And if you walk around the table, in your mind, you will also see that the magnet is still drawn to the same point. So as you walk around the table, you'll see that the balloon does exactly what the moon does every month.
Lux.
Got it?
Yeah.
So there's one explanation as to the moon's behavior. The other is that there's some kind of engine that's keeping it rotating in that perfect way.
Okay, now rotating. So it wouldn't be flat then, would it, JP? The moon wouldn't be flat if it's rotating. Or could it be flat and rotating like a frisbee?
If it was flat like a frisbee, it would suddenly light and suddenly dark.
Right.
It gradually wanes and waxes.
So that wouldn't be possible. So
only if it was a sphere would that happen.
Yeah. And see, I like your theory about the dark side or the other side of the moon.
There is no dark side of the moon. It's the far side.
The far side, yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Gary Larson, the far side. He gets it, you see? It's not dark because it's like night, you know? There's no dark side of the Earth. One part of the Earth is in nighttime, but it takes a month to do so.
A full 30 days or 28 or?
Well, yeah, 28 days. So that's the cycle of the moon. So.
And the emotions.
And emotions. Yes, indeed. So when Sean chooses the music for the beginning of his show, he does it according to where the moon is. So today we had moon in Aries. So it was all balls to the wall, rock and roll. Like fireball, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And JP, thinking of music. Do you remember the song, You Are the Magnet and I Am Steel? Do you remember that? Because you are, it's a little bit, you know, it's a little yin, but, it's, you are the magnet and I am steel. I mean, it's so true, you know, magnetic power, how it is connected to, to metal.
All right, so let's talk about magnetism. Let's talk about magnetism. All right, so what we got? It's all vortex behavior. So if I can show you how magnets, create a vortex around them, and that, when you put two magnets together and you see how the vortex is, all right. Imagine you got, you know, when you open, you cut an apple in half vertically, you can see this kind of, inside it is a kind of field, yes? It's yeah. like the shape of the field. If you cut the apple in half, you
and
can
hopefully
see
it has a couple of seeds in there.
Yeah. So the seeds are where the vortex is. That's where the magnet is. All right. And so what's going on? It's like a imagine it's like a kind of impeller pump, like a donut shaped impeller pump that is forever whatever comes through it, it's like accelerates through.
It sounds like a toroidal field. There.
It is exactly a toroidal field. Have you seen my toroidal field generator thing?
JP, I just love everything you do, my friend.
I love
it. I wish more people listening could see all the work that you do.
Maybe. Well, you know, if I get more bandwidth, then I can do better TV.
Well,
maybe start talking about
the future
about
is looking like. Bright for everyone getting more.
The bandwidth. Future is very bright, I must say, very much. And I'm very grateful. And here's the thing. I'm very grateful for a lot of things. And I'd like to be very grateful to Revolution Radio. And if you're very grateful to Revolution Radio, then there's a button you can use. You go to www.freedomslips.com. And there's a support button, I think. Is it called support?
Support?
I think it's
please.
Support. The support area. And if you go there, you can donate lots of cash, or PayPal, I think, even bit things. And, you can go for various schemes for getting stuff. If you're in the States, there's usually a silver offer or something like that. Some special offer. I always recommend the seeds, because seeds are very, very, very good investments.
Seeds are good.
Yeah, the best investment, really. So, where were we?
Well, we were just getting into the slicing of an apple and finding the vortex.
Oh, yeah.
We
so, the yeah. So the shape of the magnetic vortex around a magnet is like the core, the shape of the apple around the core. Yeah. And that's what we call a torus or a toroid. If it was, larger and more spread out, it would be, what we, you know, the classic donut or bagel shape, thing. And, actually I like quite, most toroidal food, you know, donuts, bagels,
biscuits.
Biscuits. What biscuits? Oh, what they're called. Those little ringy biscuits. Anyway, ring things.
One ring to bind them all. Meanwhile, back at Precious. They're so good, JP, but they give us the nung.
They give us the nung. They feed the nung. keep up with the Borax, people. Anyway, so, gravity generator. Talk about all over the map.
Toroidal field.
Toroidal fields. So, the toroidal field, comes out of the top and then goes around the outside and then comes back. Into the bottom and then gets kind of shot back up again. And, you know, that keeps going round. And it's a kind of, pass and go, collect $200 kind of energy thing going. And it just, you know, whenever something's rolling in this vortex, have you ever seen those dolphins? You ever seen dolphins blow vortexes? Vortices,
dolphins
to be honest.
Blowing vortices. Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You never seen that?
I haven't seen it.
Go
lately,
to Google. Go to Google and type in dolphin vortex.
Google.
Yeah. Or it's a YouTube.
Vortices.
Yeah.
It's a vortices, ladies and gentlemen. Vortices.
Vortices is the plural of vortex, V-O-R-T-E-X. But I think people say vortexes because, you know, you can't even put a U in color, for God's sake. meanwhile, back at Stately Wayne Manor, so yeah, your torus is surrounding your magnet and it's kind of rolling around and it's kind of turning itself inside out. It's a very curious motion. Nassim Haramein is a physicist. Nassim Haramein.
Nassim.
NASSIMHARAMEIN. And he doesn't sound like he's got a foreign voice, but because he sounds quite a sort of Canadian dude sort of guy. And he knows a lot about the way physics is, and it's all connected with, toroids and tetrahedrons and these other geometric forms. Did you find it?
No, I did not, but no. Did you just said tetrahedron, JP?
Tetrahedrons, yes. Yeah.
That's fascinating. I like that.
Fascinating. This is
how about octahedron?
These? Oh yeah, tetrahedron. Octahedron, you want a you say octahedron? Alright, okay.
You say tetrahedron?
You want octahedron?
Dodecahedron.
Yeah, alright, you want dodecahedron. Your octahedron and raise you a dodecahedron.
Well, then.
How about an icosahedron? Alright, yeah, right.
So be it then. Hedron, I call your hedron to my dodecahedron.
My headhedron. there we go.
It's not a field in Switzerland.
There's my dodecahedron. Alright.
Dodeca.
Yeah, 12.
Pretty amazing.
So anyway, 12 pentagons. Turn off the camera. There we go. So yeah.
12 to 60. Mm-hmm.
Those, by the way, are made of lapis lazuli. I saw them on eBay.
gotta love that stone, JP. Lapis. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh yeah, it's the most beautiful. There's a sphere, and it just looks like a little planet.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can find lapis in Afghanistan, and you can also find it in Chile.
Are you a rock man?
I am definitely a rock man. Yeah. I think we're all rock people in some ways or forms. You know, we're space dust. You know, as I see it, we're here on planet 606. Here we are. We made it.
Yeah. So we had to get to this place.
We did.
Now is the time of the crossing.
It was where I wanted to see. That is just brilliant placement of your avatar words there. I just want to let the audience know that JP has stated that it is now the time of the crossing, and I'd like to say that he has definitely chosen the right time to announce this, because we have been through a lot of things happening recently, through a lot of people, a lot of energies, conflictually and harmoniously, unharmoniously, and there comes a time where someone's of the masters, they know this vibration and they know this high level. And JP, I just want to commend you, because you're definitely someone that has excellent timing in the world, in the universe. And you are correct. This is now the time of the crossing. So toodle you, my friend.
And there's another thing about this is that I keep on doing this. I keep on saying, that's the time of the crossing. I keep doing this with my hands, which is like, it's almost like karate chopping both hands. Yeah. So it's a kind of thing. I don't know what that's about. Is that a trigger?
It's amazing. And I just, you can feel like what we were talking about earlier, the vortices and, you know, the vortex of energy and, you know, a transformation almost of dimension, you know, going from one plane of dimension, say like a third dimension, into like almost a fourth dimension or a fifth dimension. And I just, you know, I'm, want to toot your horn a little bit, because, you know, not everyone understands the value of what you do here in the internet world, JP. You know, you're a very special person, you know. I wish I knew. You have an etheric connection to the gods and the universes.
I don't know.
As you also do to the planet. And it's kind of a unique combination, you know.
I like to connect to everybody. You know, I don't care if somebody's a god. If somebody's a super soldier, if somebody's a pope, or if they're a bishop, or if they're a king, or a queen, or a street sweeper, or a teacher, or a nurse.
Yeah.
I was thinking about nurses today. I love nurses. I just got to say, I owe my life to nurses. I also owe my life to a skilled surgeon who was able to sew this bag, this haggis, back together. It's like, basically, I was a haggis, you know, the long story.
Yeah, the medical professional definitely could use a hug and a thank you, because they definitely, you know, devote their lives to help others. And I think that is definitely something special, that you ran into some good people that could work with you, and it worked out great. And I think that's an answer to really good, you know, meditation, prayer, and positive energy for you, JP. So that's good. And I'm glad that you're bringing light to the nurses, because, you know, being a nurse is definitely a special.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, 30 years ago, I was literally a minced bag of haggis, and they helped me kind of like, you know, like a cocoon, you know, like a, what is it called? A chrysalis, where the the insect's body all turns to a liquid and then kind of reforms back into the butterfly. I was kind of in that sort of reforming phase without much intention to go anywhere, really. I don't want to be a butterfly either. somehow I woke up and then I met a faith healer and things started improving from there. That was a very interesting experience. But anyway, where were we? The time of the crossing. Yes, indeed, my friend. We are at the time of the crossing. What's your, when I say this is the time of the crossing, what does that mean to you personally? What is the poem that sings from your soul?
It's a really great vibration. It feels like, I've conquered a battle, a battle of love and hate and give and take and struggled through like the swamp of the worst and flown with the highest beautifuls of birds at the same time and been through a wall and got over the wall and got to a point and I see it's time to, you know, to the crossing, JP. It's a really, you know, unique time for the aware and the eyes open people to really help understand that this is a movement. This is something that is happening to us here on the planet and we are all being affected by it. And it's just great that we can have shows like this to talk about it. So maybe that helps?
Yeah. Well, I wrote a poem on Saturday.
You got some poems for us?
I wrote a poem, right? 2 days ago. Okay. All right. So here's this little bar. I actually put it to music, but it didn't really work that much, I don't think. So I'm just going to read it. You might get some triggers from it. All right. So this is, we're the pirates from Pyra, the Jolly Rogers from Taygeta. Our bounty is your freedom. We're robbing the barons from Aldebaran. On a mission from the Dogstar by way of a pulsar, our trajectory is straight through the heart of your sun. In the vortex of time-space where the humans are cat-faced and the Sphinx is a doghead and the giants are not dead. In the vision of many at the drop of a penny, in delicious synchrony, the event is within me. Now is the time of the crossing. The time we're expecting is now. Preparation, integration, consolidation, new star nation. Now is a time for the human, vibrating with resonant human, becoming and being, knowing and seeing the love in the imminent now. Now.
Fascinating.
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 There you go.
That is just beautiful, my friend. You're a poet and you don't even know it.
It just drops out, you know, so I almost can't claim, you know, when you say like, I just wrote this down because it couldn't not come out of my head. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of those. I felt better after writing it down. Because you kind of have to hone the feeling. You have to create, you know, you get a feeling. You can't let it go. It won't go away until you've formulated it into something. You know, anything. All right. Okay, well, I'll write you a poem. Okay.
Right. It's a magnetic bubble of creativity that you have to express, and it's a beauty being released to the world. You know, it's all that good stuff. You know, it's healthy too. You know, one word that stuck out in that nice prose that you just said was dog star. When you said dog star, there,
are you serious?
It made me tingle a little bit. I'm like, why did he say that? Well, can you expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, well, okay, so there.
Because I went with Dogon. I went with some Dogon prophecy when you said that.
You got the Dogon vibe. Okay. All right, so, you know, because I was hoping that, you know, because, okay, so Pyra is a planet around goes around Taygeta. So those.
Pyra, not like Hyro, but Hyra.
Pyra, like pyramid. Okay. Like pyrography, Pyra, yeah? So, all right, Pyra, I believe, is the Lyran, the Pleiadian Lyra. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Pyra, Lyra, Pleiadian Lyra, you know?
Pyra.
And the star
is... Pyrite was the fake gold.
Yeah. But the thing is, the civilization doesn't exist yet because they went so far into the future to give themselves plenty of time to train up to deal with the reptilians.
Mm-hmm.
there's a whole civilization that hasn't existed yet. They exist in the space after the reptilians have been defeated. And after the AI has been defeated. Can you imagine that? Like, it's already happened, as far as they're concerned. And then, just to make things worse, or to make things slightly more complicated, oh, we're going to run out of time. But this is an interesting thing. In order not to run out of time, so they escaped into the future, and then they went all the way back in the past to disable the reptilian base that was in our solar system on planet Haldic.
To do good things.
The idea was to help. Mm-hmm. But because they use time travel, other people, when you use time travel, you basically tear a hole.
Like we were talking about before.
And leave a corridor. And then other things can drop through that corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So you it's like going through like this insulation foam or something. You can just kind of punch your way through it. And then...
And who knows, like the Philadelphia experiment in the 40s or de Glock, you know, on 10. Who knows what can happen with those?
Well, exactly. They actually exploited it in the end of the book. You know, he does, because they go forward in time. They meet with the Project Pounce people, who have, you know, this old operative who hasn't seen this thing for 20 years, and he says, "Ah, mein Captain," as far as the guy in de Glocker was concerned, it, you know, 3 hours ago it was 1943.
Right. Interesting how that all happens. Space-time continuum.
Oh, man. And then it gets more paradoxical, because he has to go back in time to disable this other thing that was causing a rift in space-time big enough to eat Arizona. Right? It got serious. It got really serious. And they were freaking out, and there was only one way to do it. And he had to go back in time, fire up the Glock again, and then go back in time. Basically, he was there to witness, the death of, Hans, Kammler, and effect the death of the crazy mad scientist Werner Eckert, who was causing the rift in space time, shut the machine down, and then went forward in time to back to 1965, where it got better. Okay, we'll see you on the other side. Engage the gravity generator. Rob, are you with me?
Yes, I am, my friend.
All right. So what's the opposite of gravity?
Opposite of gravity would be air, flight, non-gravity, hover, levitate.
Correct. Levity.
Amazing.
Levity is the opposite of gravity, isn't it? And isn't levity amazing? Is light work, isn't it? You know, light workers should be light, shouldn't they?
Walking on water.
Yeah. So see this. This is another great thing. Describe this to the people, right?
Okay.
What does it look like?
It's spinning in here shortly.
Can you see that?
We're having a little delay, ladies and gentlemen.
There's a little delay.
Continents apart here. But,
Hang on. I'll reset the camera. I'll turn it off and turn it on again so you can see it.
There we go.
So what I have, this is called a flippy flux. Can you see that?
It sounds like a different type of flux than what we first started out with.
Well, it's basically like dead simple. It's steel ribbon, stainless steel ribbon. It's really tough.
Okay,
very, very flexible.
Okay, nice.
Yeah? Have you got
magnets?
It yet?
No, it's not.
No, not working. Oh, that's kind of...
It might be my end. I might be getting a little...
All right. Oh, well, okay. Never mind. It's a thing. But basically, this device, if you go flippy flux, if you Google flippy flux, FLIPYFLUX, you'll see this thing. Mm-hmm. Flippy, FLIPYFLUX. And what this beautiful little thing does, it's like a kind of, almost like a kid's toy. It's like a next generation slinky. Because this thing slinks in four dimensions. It's just like, it will roll down your arm, like a slinky rolls down the foot, goes downstairs. but it kind of tumbles over itself. You know, like those Russian rings. You know the Russian triple rings?
Sure.
Like wedding ring thing? And you know the way that that ring slips over you, it slips over itself in order to, you can roll it onto your finger very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Well, it's kind of got that feel to it, but it's a one single strip of stainless steel ribbon that is just spot welded at the join. And it's got twists in it that turn it into a Mobius strip. And it's got enough tension in it to turn from these rings, what looks like, you know, just like 12 rings, into this toroidal field simulator. And it just looks like a toroidal field. I saw it on some guy's YouTube. I thought, oh, God, to have one of those, because it's such a great demonstration tool. So, but
with gravity, you get a natural flux there, right?
Yeah, well, all fields have this form. This is all forms. You know, it's produced by some kind of torus, some sort of a vortex in the middle, and it goes up and goes out and it comes up. And it, you know, you see the magnetic field of the Earth, and just like every electric field that's what it looks like. That's the torus form. And that's, and also exactly the same radial pattern comes out of an aerial or an antenna when you're transmitting.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, like, you got your rubber duck aerial sticking out the top of your walkie-talkie. The field kind of is vortex, the middle of the vortex is the central point of the aerial where the radio wave spirals up the aerial. It's like, and it creates a big donut-shaped field around the vertical point of that aerial.
I was just thinking of like ham radio antennas and CB antennas and just other type of, you know, vortex forms of
vortex,
connecting energy.
Yeah, vortex generators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty fascinating.
Yeah. Fascinating. Yeah. That earns a Spock.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, you got a magnet and I got a magnet. Yeah. If we put them together, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Are they going to create this little, you know, whoosh, whoosh. Or are they just going to go snap?
Yeah. Well, so now it makes sense that when you put two together that are in the same orientation, they'll just kind of lock together. You see? Because they're two vortexes that are basically going in the same direction. And they'll just roll together. I'd like to teach.
It's important to know your magnet's vortices.
Then. Yeah. So a south pole is where it comes out, and a north pole is where it goes in.
Did you just say south pole? I was just thinking of the south pole, and then I was thinking of, like, you were talking about bases before, and then I was thinking of hydro, you know, we were talking about hydrothermal energy coming up from underneath, and what about that base down in Antarctica? Have we talked about that at all lately?
Been to Antarctica yet? Well, as mentioned in that Sort of Fall article, did you listen to Strange Universe? Were you on?
I was not on today. I'm
all
sorry,
right.
JP.
Okay. It's just been a thematic link all day, Rob. This is just, you know, and like, you're hearing me say these words, and they're triggering things that you've been thinking about today, and this has been happening.
Yeah, for sure. I was in sync with you all the way, though. I just turned it on, and there we were. It was pretty, you know, celestial for us to be here at this time at Wolf Spirit and Revolution Radio.
Yeah, because this is the time of the crossing.
Exactly. Yeah. And Sean Connery said it, you know, very well, but you are putting some of this vibration into place now here. We're actually, you know, putting this molecular energy into reality, where we're turning things, you know, spatially into something solid. It's amazing what vortices and, you know, energies and fluctuations and all kinds of, you know, geologies too, you know, crystals and now we're talking about magnets. I mean, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, they've always been here. They're part of us. Mm-hmm. That they're here, JP. They've always been here, all this stuff. What do you think of that?
Well, certainly, as Sean has been saying a long time, you know, how did the Germans get from Sopwith camels with canvas and string to V2 rockets and
right. Well, how did that happen? Right, exactly. That's something to ponder.
Well, you know, those pesky Aldebarans. We've been talking about those. We've been talking about the Aldebaranians.
The Aldebis?
Aldebs, yeah. The Brans.
Are some good? Are some Eva of the Aldebs Braun. Okay?
Aldebaran. Okay? What?
Are some of the Aldebs good?
Not that many.
No. A rare few.
it's kind of like South Africa, you know?
Oh.
No, I'm not saying there anything about South Africa, but, it's very apartheid. It's the, you know, it's like, it's the most sort of segregated place in our local area.
No, that's not right.
You know, it's really apartheid, you know. Anything that is not perfect blonde blue-eyed can't live there.
Own
people. And that's, do you remember, are you a Star Trek fan?
Yes, I believe I am.
Do you remember the episode where Tasha Yar dies?
Tasha Yar.
Next Generation.
Oh, I'm not a Next Generation, I'm an original.
Oh, I'm not gonna say that. Anyway, so, I won't even bother with that. But basically, the okay. Aldebarans are very, very separative, apartheid, Nazi, you know, build me a wall, will you? Kind of
pompous?
People.
Yeah, we don't want that. That's not
very
good.
Very arrogant and very non-equal, very non-egalitarian, service to self, very tall, very beautiful, very perfectionist and very evil.
Can we call it vanity? Kind of vain?
Yeah, you could go that, you know, that whole thing, you know, everything we hate about those tall blondes, you know. These are the Nordics that you've heard of, you know, the Nordics that people talk about. They're not Pleiadian. These are the...
They're not from Venus, those people? No. They're talking the Aldebarans now, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think of my friend, isn't it Mr. Valiant? Valiant Thor? I mean, he's a good guy.
Is he?
Valiant. Yeah.
Well, he's an Aldebaran.
Oh, okay. See, now there had to be a couple good ones, JP.
Are there?
Well, didn't they come here to warn of the future? To give
or influence it?
Well, see, there you go. Now that could be something to look into a little bit.
Because, you know, we're just kids at this kind of thing. And they've been out there a long time. And we're actually not like kids. We're like people who have had, somebody's received a knock on the head with concussion. You know, we're still kind of staggering around, not even knowing who we are, you know, mm-hmm. and I've been through that. You know, I had a bike crash 30 years ago and I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my profession was. You know, they said, can you tell me how I am, Mr. Mayor? Can you tell me what you do? And I said, oh, well, I'm a computer programmer and I'm a journalist and I'm here writing an article for Omni magazine.
You've come a long way from eating pudding,
man. Yeah. Well, being pudding.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Did you hear that?
Yeah, your phone agrees. So, meanwhile, do you want to take that? Yeah, so. Yeah, well, that's interesting that Enya wrote a song called Aldebaran, or Aldebaran, or however you want to say it. Yeah, you know, I wrote a jolly little tune myself called Spies from Aldebaran, which doesn't sound at all nasty or weird. It's a jolly little number.
Spies like us, Aldebaran.
Aldebaran. Well, so, yeah.
Aldebaran.
Big-ass fries. So.
Are you going to share with us, or?
What?
Poems from...
No, that's just a tune. It's
wasn't that a term? Flowers from Aldebaran or something like that?
Flowers from Aldebaran. I don't know. why not? You know, maybe we should promote a tourist trade. Here, look at this ancient civilization that employed complete segregation. Look what happened to them. There's just a bunch of floating heads that are all broken and laying in a field.
Everybody should be welcome to the space bar. There should be no segregation, right? I mean, come on. There
The space bar. Is that where sci-fi writers hang out?
Well, I was just thinking of Total Recall. When they all got together up there on Mars and they were having a beer and then they were playing that music, you know, with the... I don't know. I was thinking about space tourism and space activities for some reason. One of our mutual friends recently has talked about some stuff, and it sparked a little something in my mind, JP. I mean, have you thought about, like, you know, having, like, kind of a space cafe, like JP's Space Cafe, or you know, have you ever thought about going off planet and having, like, a little, I don't know, a little something?
Or even having an interdimensional bar where people can come in from past, future, and other times and just enjoy the moment.
Right, and if they wanted to catch up on, you know, some Sands of Time issues.
Yeah, they can come day after day and never meet themselves.
They could wait in the waiting room while they could catch up, and they could get the dimensions all put together. You know, we could kind of formulate. I mean, I know it sounds a little bit weird, but I mean, they were talking about jump rooms to Mars here in New Mexico, where I live, and you know, I don't want to get off track or anything, but I mean, a current president supposedly, rumoredly, had been involved in a program like that, and
correct,
you know, so I mean, it's kind of interesting, you know, the technology that does exist. And, you know, we were talking about magnetics and fluctuations and things, and you were talking about de Glock, and I'd like to add, you know, the reverse spinning of mercury, you know, in a controlled atmosphere can also produce certain things.
The what of mercury?
The reverse oscillation of mercury in a controlled environment.
You say counter-rotation or reverse oscillation?
You say counter.
What? I say counter rotation. You say counter rotation.
You say reverse oscillation. No, I say counter rotation.
What's reverse oscillation? How can you? What do you mean reversing them?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, magnetically fluctuation. When you put a positive and a negative together, you definitely have a field that does fluctuate. And when you have something that moves forward, you have what we could say a molecular energy movement. And once that energy is then reversed, I think you have what's called momentum energy that carries itself through. And if you can actually take and can have a continuum, space continuum with this momentum and reversal with a sustaining pyramid wall of, say, mercury, you could actually create your own, you know, time travel. We could actually maybe go to this bar that you mentioned, and we could bring Sean and all his friends, and we could have a good time. I mean, it is not out of reach, shall we say.
Indeed. Flowers for Algernon. Thank you, Vanessa. She's my go-to girl for finding out truth.
Can we say hi to Vanessa? She's such a
big We fan. Can say big hi to Vanessa.
Big hugs and
big hug. Big V-shaped heart thing. Yeah.
Vortexes of sincerity and love to you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, maybe I'll play U-shaped hole. It started out as called V-shaped hole. Anyway, yeah. So Aldebaran. Hey,
were we talking about communications too? There was another place that we had communications. JP.
Radios? Radio waves? How radio waves are propagated?
There was some transmission. Yeah,
somebody stuck some radio waves in a little seed pot and it was propagated. Radio what seeds.
Were we talking about transmissions to a certain place recently?
Transmissions to Aldebaran.
There we go. Okay, now.
Well, that's right. That's again. That's the thing. That's the thing that was the difference between Sopwith camels, and and V2 rockets.
Amazing.
And time space red mercury technology.
How about Roswell, 1947? Did it happen? I mean, did they? You know, the day after Roswell, did they actually take that stuff and spread it around? I mean, is it here now? Did our computering?
Our computering is better now.
Isn't that amazing?
We can go to work and we can think with our commuters.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, I'm talking to you right now on the other side of the
world. Through the use of the computer. It's almost, we can't tell if it's a computer or not. Except when we go, or not.
And I see us here at 64, or split in half, 32 kilobytes per second, and it's clean. It's nice audio. It's shall we say, fascinating. It's a nice carrier wave now. Did that all get upgraded to us, JP? Did something happen from outer space that came here to this planet that said, okay, now boom, something's different.
There has been a wave of energy. It happened around the 7th. And a lot of people have been knocked out for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed. A lot of people have been exploding. Some people died. Some people lost their rag. Some people injured themselves. Mm-hmm. And other people processed it.
Yeah.
And these are the people I'm interested in. Because the people who processed it are better. Because we were faced with our darkest thing. It was really what they call a dark night of the soul. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Because this is what I call a pre-shock wave. Because the big wave, you really, you know, once the big wave hits, it's not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But what has happened is it got intense. I don't know if you noticed. Things got intense. It's like the air pressure got heavy and thick. And then it raised again. And this is what I believe Cliff High is calling the big squeeze. And people, when they're squeezed, go pop, or they process it and they squish down a bit. They're like memory foam.
Reposition the energy, appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm.
So have you noticed people, apart from the, false flag or, you know, apart from the mass shooting every day, everywhere on the planet. You know, have you noticed people losing their rag? People being a little more stressed, people being a little more argumentative, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, the unawareness occurs when the vibrations seem to be fearful to the recipient. When, you know, the person is afraid is usually when they lash out, you know? They're insecure, you know? It's hard to process certain emotions, certain energies, and not everyone has the ability to do that, JP.
Yes.
And some people, unfortunately, go to the extremes, and we're here to try to help balance that so that doesn't get out of control, but unfortunately, you know, it has, and we're just here to, you know, talk about it and, you know, make it better if we can.
It's not supposed to be in control.
It is what it is.
Yeah, we're supposed to be in control, but it's not supposed to be in control.
I see this energy. See, I've studied Reiki, and I've advanced through different levels of Reiki, and I've studied etheric energy, and to see this happening now is quite amazing. But please continue on.
Tell us more about what you're seeing, because I don't see any. I see shit, but I don't see anything. You know. I can sense it.
Well, you're exactly right. Your words describe a lot of my vision. You know, I feel a lot of what you say, and I think it's beautiful, you know, that we can connect from that distance to have that type of energy. I see, you know, in the media, unfortunately, excuse me, another attack in Florida, Fort Myers. I have personal friends that own land in Fort Myers. And it's unfortunate that a certain targeted group is being hit, JP, and it seems to be, I don't want to say a certain target, but it just seems to be knives, guns, and it's almost like they don't want anybody to leave their houses anymore, or they don't want people to go out and connect and to possibly repopulate. I know that sounds a little bit weird, but when people go to nightclubs, they do get involved with alcohol, and they do usually get involved in sexuality. And when sexuality and alcohol and nightclubs come together, you can get what's called repopulation. So it is possible
or
that
depopulation.
Yes. And I'm just throwing this out here now, and thank you for allowing me to say this, because I feel like there is a direct connection of vibration to depopulate this planet and to fear for any future people that would like to populate the planet. That's where I'm getting at it, JP, and you know, the Georgia Guidestones and a lot of other things happening. But I can't say whether it's good or bad. It just is, And that's the way it is. And it's really bad the way it's being played out in the media through false flags and murders and knife attacks and all this stuff, because it's fear, and it's really at our lower selves, and it's not what, you know, you and I and the listeners here are really all about. We're about much better things.
Yeah.
You know,
well, here's the thing. All of these false flags, every single one of them, the reason they're false is because they're trying to create an illusion. And they're trying very desperately, and they're pulling out all the stops to try and stop people from feeling in their hearts. Because that feeling, it's like, it's undeniable when your heart is beating in your chest, and you can have two feelings about it. It's like, wow, I'm alive, or, oh my God, I'm going to die. You know, because normally your heart works without you knowing, without you being aware. But sometimes there are times when you really need to have a kind of engine inside you. You know, times when you have to be fortified, and when your heart beats hard like that, you're standing in front of the boss. You know, you're there. That it's there to give you the strength and power to speak your heart. So a lot of people are feeling that, and they think, oh my God, I'm going to die, or they get scared because they can feel their heart. But
fear takes us out of our natural vibration.
Well, the thing is that sometimes the feeling of the heart beating is it triggers unpleasantness. Mm. And so people get away from it. And of course, if you're negating the feeling of your heart, then you've lost your heart. Duh, you know, so, and then you do everything but the heart-based thing, and you do everything but the right thing. Everything.
Out of touch.
But, yeah, mm-hmm. You lose heart. All these things.
You lose step, you lose beat. Mm-hmm.
So.
Keep heart.
So. Go ahead.
Yeah, keep heart, well, self-awareness, you know, self-knowledge. Be friendly. Vibration, you know, the energy you projection, you know, what you project, you reflect. But yeah, the media that they're getting at us, my friend, they're triggering in to certain levels, and it's just, you know, getting completely out of control. But put that aside. I mean, you know, they got the DNC going on right now, and I mean, Lenny Kravitz and you know, Katy Perry, and you know, they're gonna have some really neat entertainment. What do you think about? This rigmarole with this speaker, it sounds like they started out the DNC convention, and it's like they fired the speaker right away. You know, I mean, what did
happened?
You see that, JP?
No, I didn't. Tell us about it. A DNC is an intimate operation, I believe, with a woman experiences in a very unpleasant way. So,
Democratic National Convention is.
All right. Well, yeah, we're talking about exactly the same, really. Yeah, where you were seeing an unpleasant woman giving you a very unpleasant experience, and anyway. Meanwhile, back at Wayne Manor.
We need to go back to real life, because that's a whole nother
8 hours have passed since that strange turn of events. And meanwhile, at stately Wayne Manor.
The world will be changing, but that's not our vibration currently.
So.
Prometheus.
Yes?
The oldest tree on the planet.
Time of the crossing. Yes, so this, you know, a lot of the people, okay, so let's just talk frankly.
Sure, let's cross.
A lot of people are very upset about being on planet Earth at this time.
Yes.
And I say, well, you know, there's a lot of reasons, right? But I say we all had to get here. It's like, okay, you must be wondering why I gathered you here all together, kind of thing. Essentially,
we are gathered here today.
Yeah, actually, you know what I do? I go out of my. I live in a cottage on a cattle farm, and in the next field are just these young bullocks, and they're just recently gelded, so they don't have all the crap going on. Oh, it's kind of weird look in their eyes. It goes away after a while. You know, they get mean. Anyway, so So whenever I step out into my garden, they all kind of look round and they all kind of gather towards me. So I said, "Well, guys,
well-fertilized garden, in the end."
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a fence there, but this is the edge of the garden, a little warmer. Later, I say, "Well, I guess you're wondering why I gathered you all here together every day. Works every day. It's great. It's like I'm practicing for some secret meeting. Anyway, so we all may be wondering why we are here at the time of the crossing. Now, what we're here to do is to heal. Everybody's got their stuff, and we've carried it from lifetime after lifetime, from race after race. And every race has got its trauma, and every race has got its superpower once you overcome the trauma. This is how it works.
Heavy luggage.
Well, we bring all our luggage here, and we throw it into the middle of the bed, and we share it around. Mm-hmm. Because we've got too much of what other people need. Everybody's got too much of what everybody else needs.
We need to lighten our load, JP. We need to help the listeners lighten their load.
Lighten their load, baby. 9-9. So, when you make this connection. So I did this video. It's on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam, Studio number 9 Jam. And it's near the top there, Healing the Lyre and Trauma. And I keep pushing it because it's the opening of something. It's the reopening of communications with your Lyre self, your higher self. All the humans come from Lyra. We may have all been modified and genetically and mutilated on the way, and bred and hybrid and hybridized, and, you know, we might think that we're reptilians, but, you know, we're all humans, and we've all got this very, very long memory of losing something very precious to us. And some people think it's their twin flame, and some people just feel it as a kind of numb feeling that means that they can't connect with anybody, and other people are just kind of angry all the time and they don't really know why. And it's like everybody's got their original trauma, and it kind of corresponds on a kind of soul level with the birth trauma of humanity.
Mm-hmm. It's emotional and it's heavy, but can we help the listeners let this baggage go?
Oh yeah, we can do a journey. We can do a journey with JP. I did it last week, mm-hmm. you know, on the show. So it's on the as I said, Studio 9 Jam at YouTube.
I've got a little saying that I like to say to myself sometimes when things get a little bit heavy and, you know, they feel like the world's crashing in on you and like things are really tough. You know, you are a beautiful energy and you choose what to emit. And, if we can emit something by choice, then this is how I see it. Why not have, you know, why have stale milk, okay, when you can have sweet cherry wine? Okay? It makes sense that your attitude is really going to be a reflection. And if your attitude is off, that's going to be a reflection also. And it's important that we can be aware of our luggage. And sometimes we don't want to hand our luggage off to other people. But we don't, JP, people listening, this is important. They don't necessarily know that they're giving other people their luggage without even knowing it.
Do we do it all the time? All the time. Every moment of every day, we are seeking healing by triggering everybody else's stuff.
Right.
People who are annoying, you know, you just want to get rid of them, don't you? Well, that's because they're suffering the trauma of being gotten rid of. They were abandoned. That's their abandonment, you know, so they make people abandon them all the time by being annoying. You never noticed that?
And see, you picked it up with the birth trauma too, right?
Well, it's all connected with the birth. Well, the birth trauma is of separation. And
the violent cutting of the umbilical?
Correct. Now that is a reflection of earth or of human Lyran memory of having our brothers and sisters slaughtered.
Mm-hmm. Slapped on a stainless steel cold table.
Well, no, like
with a towel rubbed off of you?
No, Alderaan. Like in Star Wars. Remember Star Wars? Boom, planet, bam. to imagine there's a group of planets, Lyrans, and everybody was telepathically connected with each other. Everybody was, you know, completely... it was a paradise. It was beautiful.
Nice people.
Yeah? That's who we are. That's who the humans are.
We're not telepathic. We just got to help these people catch up.
Well, here's the thing. The reason that we're not telepathic is because we got hurt badly.
Who's not?
And we can't go back there.
I'm telepathic, too.
So. But the thing is, you got to get to the Lyran grief. And that's what drove the Pleiadians to to wage war throughout the galaxy. And
you got
to
get through that, right?
Yeah,
it's something that's just inevitable.
Okay, so shall we take a quick? Do you want to relax yourself? Right. So here's the thing. So basically, everybody, if you can. Take a deep breath in, take it in through your nose and fill yourself up like a balloon, and we're going to take a deep breath out and then we're going to go down the time hole. Okay, so here's the thing. Everybody's feeling some kind of distress. Some people get distress from abandonment. Some people get distress from being over-pressured, over-expected. All have a different flavor of stress. Let's still focus on the grief, because the grief is like at the bottom of it all. If you don't acknowledge the grief, you can't let go of it, and all the complex that grows on top of that grief won't dissolve. You can work for years, you can dig away like a spade. Or using a teaspoon to move a mountain. But it's much easier to just, well, acknowledge the grief, to feel it. And it's the last thing we can do.
No more denial, folks.
Mm. So, here's the thing. We all have a feeling of our twin flame. This being who you know when you meet them, that they know what you're feeling and they know what you're looking at, and you look at them in the eye and you know that they're feeling the same feelings as you're feeling. We all have this archetype in our minds. Somewhere out there, there's somebody who will make us feel that way. If you go into that, if you take a deep breath into that feeling, take it in through the nose and then breathe it out through the mouth, you can feel it's a gap, a space, a void. It's like you can't feel something. It's like an amputation. You know, there's something needs to be there, but there isn't something there. It's not there.
It's a void.
Yeah? Can you feel the sense of loss of it and why you might have gotten angry about that? Take a deep breath in through your nose and see if you can feel those feelings. And if you can get into that feeling, and then, you know, if you can feel it, you can feel it all the way back. All the way back to the first time that your soul ever felt that feeling. And it takes you back to Lyra. And so as you're riding back on the river of this feeling, you arrive on Lyra, and there are all these people who are really cool. They're kind of, well, they're exactly what we feel that we ought to be. And there's a version of you there on Lyra. And as you're coming into land, and you can kind of you got your gravity field, you gradually come down to the ground and, you know, you meet all these people out in a lovely, beautiful field, and there's, you know, it's very nice grass and it's soft. And, everybody's very happy to see you. And, you know, you can see yourself. There you are. And, you know, you're kind of taller, more beautiful. You're kind of ideal version of you.
Happy.
Before you got gnarly. And it's you. So you run up to them, and they've got their arms out, and you've got your arms out, and you run, you know, the whole Darcy thing, and Wuthering Heights, and, you know, and you grab them, and they grab you, and you can feel their, you know, perfect physique. Ah, they're like the best that you could be. You know, just ideal. They're who you are. So give them a really big hug, and tell them that you really love them. Because they're you. Then bring them into today. Take them in and then fly back to Earth. Fly back to today. Show them around. So.
Yep.
Now we've reconnected with our Lyran self.
Big hugs.
Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Tell us what you're feeling. Tell us any feelings or memories that are coming back, or, you know, tell it. Just open your mouth and speak.
It was amorphous of energy. I can only correlate it maybe to a song from the 70s, maybe Peter Frampton style. When I was there with this energy, in this being, I felt like I'm in you, you know, you're in me. And it that's just, you know, a tingling that I had, you know, amongst both my arms as connecting. So, thank you for this exercise. It's nice when you can actually, you know, get that vibration and have that feeling. But to come back forward, you know, and to feel that, you know, 'cause you give me the love that I never had. You know, it's kind of like a re-energizing of this incredible energy, you know, universal for the planet, which we call love. You know, it's a sincere hug, smile.
This is who we are. This is who we are. This is, so when you hug that being there, if you go back, and you can go back now, anytime, to that fantastic hug.
I want to go back there and stay there. It's so nice.
Yeah. Well, you can bring that here. That's the idea, is you now manifest by bringing that being into your life today, showing them around. This is what we do. Imagine you're an ambassador, or you're a tour guide, and you've got a cousin who's just arrived from another country. You show them your life.
Could we say, like, the ambassador for the higher self?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go, people. I like that.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash got to get back to the garden, says Deb.
There we go. What would Alex Collier say?
Well, actually, we had such a great time. I had two shows with
him. Up here, by the way. I had to say that because he's using me to say something real quick here.
Go on, what's it going?
I don't know. I don't know why it just popped. You know me, JP. When I just, you know, I'm a conduit energy of incredible spiritual connection to the world. And he just wanted me to say, you know, something positive. You know, he wanted to be part of the hug. He was part of a group hug with a laugh is what he got.
Okay. In terms of Alex, one of the brilliant things he put the other day, was, basically we're down to two timelines, and we're down to the Nazi timeline and the normal timeline, you know, the good timeline. And we're essentially finding all the souls that are still here, all the real people who are on the Nazi timeline, to basically just kind of grab them before it completely falls to pieces. You see, so we've got like, it's going to be like a mass extraction. And it may be people that you knew. And because they knew you, you've allowed them to have permission to be individual and have free will. you know, you've inspired them somehow. And, that makes their soul swell a bit, you know, because all of these people, these poor Nazis, all their heart senses, it's all scrunched up. You know, it's all contracted. Contracts, by the way.
Yeah, constriction. We need to release the constriction.
So it's like little fists. So the more you breathe, the more you can expand again.
Like the slinky, but not with one leg, with four legs.
Four-legged slinkies. Or toroidal slinkies. I mean,
there we go. Where can we get a hold of some of those?
Flippyflux.com. Can you hear it?
There we go. Beautiful.
This is the noise it makes. It's a very pleasant feeling as well. I haven't got very thin arms, but if you've got really thin arms, you can roll this thing right down your arm and pick it up with the other arm, and it'll roll back up the other one, and it does this amazing rolling motion, toroidal motion around your body. It's just incredible.
It's just incredible.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the ambassador for the higher self. Yes.
There we go.
So yeah.
Like that? Yeah. Well, come visit Journeys and, you know, re-intune to your ambassador of your higher self.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
The journey.
That we're all here for a reason. And if you don't know what that reason is, give me a call and I'll just tell you, I'll show you what your reason is, and you already know it. It's just that you haven't seen it. Or
right.
You don't recognize it, or you don't think it's important enough.
And if you can't figure it out, JP, then you can give me a call and we'll definitely get to the bottom of it.
Get to Rob and he'll give you some remedial advice.
Whatever needs to happen.
Special advice. See me in my room after. Yes.
Yes. Yes. In the chambers with love and hugs.
And whips and chains. Anyway. Squiddly, you got mates, you got friends. They're sending you messages, you can tell. This is a man who's got friends. I ain't got friends. My phone is just like, beep, nothing.
I like gnomes. I'm a different kind of a person. I have a couple of different gardens here where I live, and I connect with gnomes and fairies.
You're helping the gnomeless? That's very good.
Yes.
That's very noble.
I definitely am all
That's very noble of you.
Yes, yes. Small homes for the homeless is very important, but I do connect with, you know, the fairies and the gnomes. They do exist, people. They are real. And, you know, spirits that bring nice energy to help growth, to help transfer, and to help get you to where you need to be so then you can go to the crossing, right, JP? Because you got to get there. You can't get from point A to point C until you get to point B.
Well,
it's
here's the thing.
Work that we do B. I see point B as doing the work.
Yeah, the work. See, this is the thing. People who have been doing, quote, the work, and what that means is to basically get a handle on your emotional body. And instead of being ruled by it, which is like being ruled by a two-year-old toddler. And you've seen people who've got these infants that are tyrants. You know? So imagine being ruled by your own inner tyrant. And that's what happens when people are ruled by their emotional body. So one of the reasons is that they've been traumatized in that way so that they behave that way. You know, that's the way, everybody shares their feelings. But, in order to pass
that's
through this
luggage.
Process.
That's heavy luggage for some people.
Well, here's the thing. If you've had some kind of, apparently losing your rag, in American is, doing what Nicolas Cage does, losing it. Like, just doing a Nicolas Cage, you know what it is, what do you call it? You're losing your shit, that's right. So basically, since the 7th, you've had any kind of emotional, overwhelming situation, where you've been, or you've actually survived it, and you're feeling like, oh my god. You know, kind of, it's like, I'm glad that's over. Well, that's just a, I'm sorry, but that's a wave, right? And they'll get more and more intense. And this is how all of these negativities, are gonna leave the planet. Because these waves are gonna be more and more intense. And they're gonna be more and more long lasting. So.
JP, can we call them fluxes? We can call them fluxes.
We could call them fluxes. It is a flux from the Ultra Galaxy. The galaxy that our galaxy is a galaxy of. Yeah. The same relationship to, from our planet to the galaxy is how the galaxy is to this super galaxy.
Beyond the outside of the apple.
Ever beyond. And it's the wave of consciousness that comes from this, which is a living being, you know, and it's like our galaxy is one cell in its brain. Imagine that.
Consciousness, JP, very well said, a living being, an energy.
A person. And they embody, and people talk to these, and those embodiments, that's what people call gods.
And sometimes the emotional side of one can take it off balance, out of tilter. Get it bad. We need to get that emotional balance back in place so the emotional bodies can sustain and deliver proper vibration, and we can become more together as one, as a people, rather than, you know, we can cooperate as a group rather than, you know, compete.
Contention. The end of contention. The end of...
There we go.
Because there's plenty for everybody. The whole idea of contention is that there's not
enough.
There is
plenty.
Yeah.
There is plenty.
So the belief that there isn't enough is one of the first belief systems that has to dissolve.
There we go. The fear. Right. The lack of. Where is my more going to be?
It's a control. It's a control. And over thousands of years, people have been beaten... Hundreds of millions of years, people have been beaten by the reptilians into submission that this is the way things are.
Psychological.
And then you got to run to keep up. And I think that's toot. To be honest.
Big egos and fat kings. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So my feeling is, you know, the way forward is we form small communities, first of all, people who believe in each other. People like you and me. We're all disparate. We're all over the world. But as these waves come by, you know, people will lose it, blow up, end up in mental homes or dead or, you know, killing other people. Or you know, this stuff is going to happen, right? And that's why these false flags are happening. They knew this energy was going to come up, and they're trying to own it. But that's going to fail as well, because when the real things happen, real people with real guns will stop them, you know. And you hear it all the time, don't you? You hear people with real guns stop, you know, because there are like copycat shooters and all these things that, you know, people are shooting up a mall or something like that. And they're stopped by ordinary folk who come up behind them with a gun and pistol whip them, you know, because they're just not, they're not cogent. They're not really focused into what they're doing. It's very random. It seems berserker. So this energy is coming up. And if you haven't done your stuff, then something like that might happen. But, it's, you know, we're all being connected with our karma. And I suppose if you've got it coming to you and you keep moving towards it, then it's going to come to you. Whatever it might be. And this is the time of the crossing, when whatever's coming to you will come to you. So if we survive this, you know, if you come out on the other side, you can guarantee that the person's going to be a decent person. Because any amount of indecency in us is going to be amplified a million times. Every time this wave comes, it's going to, you know, so imagine, right? Last couple of months we've had this thing, and you know, we've all been experiencing these emotions, and wow, so really, yeah, that's what I am, is it? All right. And then suddenly we get the next one, you know, in a couple of months time, you know, middle of September, maybe we get this enormous wave of this energy again. And we kind of manage to regain some more of our consciousness and see more and more. There'll be another layer of people coming out, and you know, their evil comes out in the street. and by the time the actual wave comes, people will have kind of become accustomed to the newer psychic pressure, and we'll also be more telepathic with each other. We'll, you know, all these things, because we're going to rejoin. We are, see, doing tonight, right? What I did with everybody tonight it's just a tiny little thing. It's much better doing it personally because not everybody's from Lyra. And some people need to decondition some other traumas and programming that has happened that is not connected with the Lyran trauma. And I want to learn about it, and I want, you know, I'm going to help people as well. So we all help each other. And
yes, we all help each other decompress.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, I got a memory foam mattress the other week.
Ooh, nice.
And it's 10 inches thick, right? But the but it comes packed, and it's about like 3 inches thick when it's packed. Mm-hmm. And you have to take it. It's just an enormous in-breath.
It's kind of interesting, JP, why they would call it memory foam. It actually remembers you. You know?
It remembers everything. It remembers everything, you know, and it's embarrassing at parties. Anyway, so. Yeah, so here's listener Deb. She's saying that the third wave of these shock waves. Now, I was going to say there's usually three, and then the main wave hits. It's like what they call a bow shock wave in a ship. You know, when you have a ship and there's a wave that precedes the ship because it's being pushed forward by the momentum of the ship. Is that right?
The wave of the ship. Mm-hmm.
You know, the prow of the ship, the nose of the ship, as it pushes through the water, there is a wave that is in front of it, and it's got these three little waves in front. And that's called the bow shock. And so yes. We've been getting these little bow shock echoes of this great universal energy, but it's very soon. We're going to, the prow of this thing is coming soon. And, everybody can feel it building up. And every time it gets more intense, every time it lasts a bit longer. And if you can't breathe through it, you explode. So and this is the key, right? Brothers and sisters, just breathe. Just, if you ever get to that place where you feel it like, it's like suffocating or, it's hard to breathe. Just focus on your breath and do nothing else, you know.
Focus, awareness, yep. Internal. Yes, yeah, so important.
Just do nothing but breathe. Don't think. Just breathe, yeah. And the breath, because it really takes up your mind if you think about it, right? If you do the breath, which is to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, if you do that, it really takes your mind off everything else. If you focus on just doing that breath. Breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. It's quite remarkable how it does focus you in your body and not in your head.
Breatharian exercise.
Is it?
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I like to do it underwater, in warm water when I'm in a calm.
Rob from New Mexico. We have done Roswell. God bless you, mate.
God bless you, JP.
Thank you.
Scotland, my friend. So much good energy.
Thank you, Nye. Good night, everybody. See you next week. Well, let's play some music, shall we? Well, let's stop the recorder first.